do it. We're recording.
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Unhinged with Coach and Pot.
That's staying in there.
The fuck it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unhinged podcast with Coach and Tom. As you know, I'm your host, Tom. To my immediate that way is my co-host, Coach.
You have no idea how to do this, do you?
I am making this up as I go along, baby boy.
Oh my God, what are you doing? Okay, hold on. First, let's talk about this. What kind of underground fucking bunker are you sitting in right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am broadcasting live from the secret unhinged bunker deep beneath the city streets of Beaumont, Texas. If you want to find me, I'm underground somewhere between Pearl Street and the Civic Center.
What kind of lying-ass Batman bullshit are you on?
I don't even know, dude. Oh my God. We're just having fun at this point.
So as y'all normally know, he's normally with me over here. You have COVID or something?
I have no idea, but my, for those of you who don't know, just like most comedians, I live with my parents and my mother has the flu and I didn't want to give it to Coach.
Oh yeah, no, we ain't doing that. I've had the flu once. I almost yeeted myself off a fucking bridge the last time I had the flu. I didn't eat for a week. I'm not doing that again. Thank you for being considerate. But no, okay, so he's normally here with me. This is different for the both of us, because now I have to remember that he's there on the screen. I can't turn to look at him when I want to react to something. I just I'm just gonna stare directly at my screen, I guess. So your entire household is sick. How long has this been happening?
Just a couple days.
All weekend.
Yeah.
When was the last time you left the house?
About 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, okay, so you've been out and about. You just didn't want to pass it on.
Exactly. You
passed it on to other people.
Oh, I passed it on to every comedian in Southeast Texas. Get fucked, losers.
Poor Comedy 409.
No. I don't think I'm sick. I've been minimizing contact. Haven't spent any time in intimate distance with either one of them. I have no interest in that shit whatsoever.
Is that a commercial?
No.
Y'all saw that too, right? That was a fucking commercial.
They didn't see shit.
This is recorded. If they go to the YouTube, they can actually see us. So what?
Feel free to blank that out.
What are you watching? Is that a man on a horse?
It's just, that is a man on a horse. That's just relaxing Texas scenes.
Relaxing Texas scenes. That's the most Texas fucking thing I've ever seen.
hold on. I can make it even more Texas.
Oh God.
Is that better? Is that more Texas? Is that Texas enough for you?
If you all didn't know, military, they're just all special ed. They should all be licking windows.
No, that's Marines, dude.
You're included. You're the extra.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, it's been a hellish week for both Coach and I. I didn't perform this weekend, but I worked the door at both shows for Comedy 409. We're looking forward to seeing y'all out there. Like we advertise on here every single week. We have shows going on. Right now I'm going to out front. I'm just going to plug Tuesday nights with Soup of the MC at 409. And then Thursday nights with yours truly at the Texas Rose on MLK.
I was going to say, so no. You didn't do Texas Rose Saloon this week?
I did.
Oh, okay.
it was actually a really good time. We had a couple of first timers go up, a couple of experienced comics. Apparently, Comedy 409. We now own a poet for some reason.
You own a poet. Okay, go poet.
And it's legal because she's only half Mexican. Shout out to Bree and to Joey Danger.
Not diving into that at all. But for me, this week has been the week of appearances as far as work goes. Because I wasn't in my office at all. Thursday, I was in my office for a total of maybe 2 hours. Or it felt like 2 hours. Because traveling between, you know, my school and the university and doing work for both places most of that day. And then Friday was just like a blur because I know I went to work, but I can't tell you anything that I did. I don't even think I spoke to a single student on Friday as far as, you know, my job dictates. I don't think I spoke to a single student. I think I was just in my office catching up on the things that I missed for the last 2 days. And then my other coworker, who she didn't want to sit in her office by herself and just do stuff. She wanted to be around other people. I'm like, well, I have another computer in my office, so use the second computer. And she got all giddy and excited because she got to use the big computer in my office, which has two, like, I think 27-inch screens. One's actually turned on its side to where everything that you open is up and down instead of sideways.
She was excited about
that, and she spent most of the day in my office sitting there just doing work. So I was able to grant somebody a modicum of happiness on Friday because me and her both were on that same schedule of Wednesday rarely in office, Thursday just running around like chickens when our heads got off. So we had pretty much been working very closely together for most of the week. And it's not like we don't, but
yeah, it's just been a lot so more lately
this week. And it's great that me and her have a great relationship, because she's like an older sister to me and she tortures me at work like an older sister. Because there are times where, like, I'll say things about my disability and she'll go, "Oh, I almost said something bad," and I'll just tell her to say it. And there are a couple of times where she's let it slip that, you know, I wanted to say broken, or I wanted to say, you know, some other shit. And I'm just like, just say it. It's me. Nobody cares. Times I think it's just because she doesn't want to be seen as bad in the workplace when it comes to, or being insensitive when it comes to me. But most people who work with me know that I don't really care. And that I'm going to make you uncomfortable to make you comfortable with
me. Yeah.
So
it basically breaking sense. Down that barrier.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of the eggshells because I don't do the eggshells. I hate it. It's actually much worse than just calling me something derogatory. Because if you're walking around on eggshells around me, then we can't have fun. We can't have a
good time. And that's why I tell the world you're my favorite cripple.
And I'm just like, yeah, nope, I'm not doing this with you. I'm going to make you uncomfortable as fuck. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And most people deal with it or they go away.
What do they do?
Yeah. Also this week, talk about trying to have your lunch and just getting asked the age-old question, how is your relationship with Jesus Christ?
Oh, fun.
Yay. So, Friday, on the day where I'm not remembering anything, and I'm just going with the wind, I went over to the university, and I got Chick-fil-A to eat, because food.
Because Chick-fil-A is scrumptious.
Yes. Scrump delicious. So I go outside because it's beautiful outside, sun shining, wind blowing, all the beauty, and trees, can't forget the trees. and I'm eating, having a great time, watching TikToks on my phone. And all of a sudden, a person comes up and asks me how I'm doing, how's my day going. They said that I looked really happy, which at that time that I was, because I was outside around trees and sun and wind, and it wasn't cold and it was actually warm. And it's the kind of days that I enjoy. And then she asked if she could ask me a question.
And you knew what was coming.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't. Because it was the farthest thing from my mind. When it comes to me, I don't really think of religion. When someone walks up to me, I think, okay, they're just going to ask something about the chair or, you know, my eyes or something like that. Because those are the questions that I expect. She asked me about, do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And at that immediate minute, I had to stop myself from, one, barking out laughing. Two, I had to stop trying to think of ways to escape, because that would just be rude. And three, I had to keep my face as neutral as possible. So I decided to keep smiling, and in the midst of, you know, thinking, in my mind going through 1,000 different things to say, my brain just automatically goes, why don't you just tell her the fucking truth? And I'm like, you know what? It's Friday. I don't care. Good idea. So I looked at her sweetly and I said, ain't got one. And I think they were mostly taken aback by that. Because, you know, looking at my face, looking at my situation, of course I would be a Christian. I would have to be, because, you know, sweet guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. No.
So after telling her I don't have one, she basically said, come again. And I said, don't have one. Haven't had one in years. Mm-hmm. I'm fine without it. Then they asked why. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just looked down and be like, why not?
So I started going into the why. I talked about, you know, my 12 years of being in the church with my parents. And on all of those 12 years, I don't remember getting anything out of it. I also told her about being baptized at the age of 5 in the Christian church and not actually knowing what was going on. Talked about how... talked about how I thought I was just going to go play in the water, not actually committing to anything as a 5-year-old. Not that as a 5-year-old we know what's going on or can we give consent. Not actual consent, because we don't understand. We think we're just doing something to make our parents happy. And then, you know, the remainder of those years just sitting there staring and not getting anything, sitting in a pew from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Sunday and dying of hunger.
Yeah.
In that pew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told her about the years outside of the church between the ages of 13 and 17, where I actively told my parents that I would never be attending church with them again. And then at 17, when I joined the Pentecostal church and thought I was getting something, but then after 6 months, things started to change, where I had to realize that making my parents happy was more important than making a church happy, and by extension, God. Because missing church by one Sunday for senior pictures for my very elderly mother, who at the time that I didn't know was approaching the end of her life, wanted to take senior pictures with me. And of course I said yes. By missing church that day, apparently I had hurt God or somehow. And then that's when everything started to change, because at that time, you know, doing that wasn't important. Doing senior stuff for high school wasn't important. Prom wasn't important. Homecoming wasn't important. What else wasn't important? Oh, baseball. Baseball, the one thing that
all the big, all the big steps that we prioritized at that age weren't able to prioritize.
Right. So, you know, and you know, senior skip day wasn't important. And like I was saying, baseball, the one thing that gave me joy in high school and that actually propelled me into college. That also was not important. And once they tried, they didn't take those things away. Even when I tried to create a balance, it wasn't good enough. So once that happened, I walked away forever.
Keep going.
And after walking away forever, I didn't look back, and I chose not to. And the reasons for that was I had a lot of different questions. You know, why was stepping outside of the Christian religion such a bad thing? Why was questioning things a bad thing? Why is it that my own, that having strength and belief in myself, why was that such a bad thing? Why were my triumphs in life, why were those never attributed to me and always attributed to God or some higher being? Why did I never get the actual credit for stepping up and putting in the very, very hard work to get to where I am in life? And then I began to tell, you know, the person about my current path, my current beliefs, and, you know, where I hold myself and how I carry myself and how much freedom I now feel because of what I do now versus what I do then. I don't feel restricted. I don't feel held back. I feel like I can actually be my true self. I don't hate myself for trying to be something I'm not. I don't hate myself for going to do things that I actually enjoy, that isn't detrimental to my health, that's not hurting anybody, and that's not causing a problem within my immediate friend group or family. Like, for example, dancing was bad. TV was bad. On Sundays, we were expected to be in church. We were not to be anywhere else. Sleeping in was bad. anything outside of God was bad. Country music was bad. Even the ones that talk about God, it was all bad. So once I began to explain those kinds of things and I finished my explanation, that's when the Bible verses started spewing out at me, where we are not able to lean on our own understanding. Leaning on our own understanding is going against God and something else.
We've all heard it before. None of this is new.
What else was thrown at me? How, you know, I'm gonna burn in hellfire, and if I don't repent and go to God, he is going to look at me and say, depart from me, as I have never known you. And
you know, my whole deal with that is I forget where I heard it or read it. It was probably social media. Beard hair. It was probably social media, but I read somewhere, it is better to have beliefs, or correction, it is better to have ideas than it is to have beliefs. For ideas can be safely changed, whereas changing a belief requires the shattering of one's world. And I stand on that wholeheartedly. I would much rather be known as a thinking man. And if you want to attribute some sort of faith or belief to what I do and what I think and the ideas that I carry, so be it. Like, I am ostensibly a Norse pagan. I'm not you know, super faithful, and I'm not, you know, one of the things I can't stand is the, I call it bro Satru, the hell yeah brothers. Hell yeah, till Valhalla, brother. And I'm just like, please shut the fuck up.
I know some people that will definitely agree with you, and you will be meeting them soon, I promise you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because, like, for me, being a Norse pagan and a comedian, they're like, oh, do you do this and you do that? I'm like, no, dude. I just like the ideas that it espouses, so I use it as a guidepost, you know? Things like self-reliance, like hospitality, frith, kinship, all of these things are things that I believe that every person, man, woman, child, they, them, zeezer, whatever other weird shit you're on, you can benefit from those ideas. There's nothing wrong with the idea of being a self-starter and being self-motivated and taking care of those around you, you know? And the idea that's like, oh, well, that's charity. No, it's not charity. That's self-reliance. That's me making sure that I have enough to take care of me and mine, right? And then welcoming those around me, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't like anything that tells me that you know, you will hate your mother and father for following me or whatever other silliness that came out in the epistles. Like, no, I'm good. I choose my community. I choose my friends. I choose my family.
Right. And so more that was kind of thrown was the idea of hell and how when I die and I don't have that relationship with God, that I will be thrown down towards hellfire. And I actually, well, no, I didn't interrupt at that point. I let them continue speaking. This person was so very passionate about what they were saying, but, and I admired that, but
yeah,
what I didn't was the fact that after I had said no, and that, you know, I didn't have that relationship, the continuing of it, the continuing of
the badgering.
Yeah. The speaking on the subject. And maybe I should be more plain when answering that question. It's just that I have too much of, you know, be nice, create peace, create unity. All right. I have that in me. To an extent, and the reason why would probably be because of how I perceive my own life, full of chaos, struggle, and hardship, to where I'm just like, nobody else needs to have that, and I don't need more of that. So even on the outside, I try to keep peace, but at times it becomes a detriment to my own mental peace because I don't put a stop to it, which I'm working on, but the hellfire comments, I just listened to them and it kept going and kept going and kept going, and then we finally got to the penultimate part of this conversation where they breathed, and with tears I think in their eyes, they asked me if I was ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I actually paused and thought how I was going to phrase the response to that question. I had this whole elaborate response thought out in my head, and I ended up just going with no.
Mm-hmm. No.
And that no, fuck, it was the most soul-fulfilling, cleansing thing that I had ever felt in my entire life. That no came from years of wanting to say no to all of the crap that I had been forced into as a young boy. That no came with the release of probably years worth of, I don't even want to say trauma, because it's not it's not trauma when you really think about it, but just bullshit mm-hmm. that is crammed down our throats as a child. Like all the fear and
see, and that's what I get. And they're like, oh, victory in Jesus and fear not and this, that, and the third. But then every other Sunday it's you're going to hell for this and you're going to hell for that. And you know, you're going to suffer at the shores of Sheol, not realizing like that's a real place. Like there's a sign to navigate to Sheol in Jerusalem, you know? Mm-hmm. When in reality, if you really listen to what the writing in red says, it's be good to your neighbor, have a little faith, and you'll be happier for it. You know, mm-hmm. and that's something that I'm going to go on a limb and say is missing in modern Christianity. You know, they're real good about showing up when they were real good about it on Harvey, you know, showing up and being like, hey, you know, we got this and we can help. But whenever I went to a church that I'm not going to name on this podcast and said, I'm a disabled veteran, I'm unhoused, I need $1,000 to get a place. Can't help you. Go talk to them. And I go talk to them. I make too much money on my pittance of VA disability.
Mm. And you know, after that, no, they became confused. And yeah. they repeated it back to me and said, no. And I said, no.
No, I'm mm-mm. good. Yeah.
And I said, because here's the thing. On the first part, I want to commend you because you are doing exactly as you should. You are spreading the gospel.
Go and make followers of all nations. Exactly.
Yes, you are doing exactly as you're supposed to. And that will make God himself say, well done, good and faithful servant. However, you also have to learn that when people say no, you have to learn to read the room. Yeah, you have to learn when to walk away. You have to learn when to leave things alone because not everyone is going to subscribe to your ideologies. Then you begin to speak on hellfire. And do you realize that some of the strongest people, some of the strongest weapons that mankind has ever known were forged in fire?
Yeah.
That they come out much stronger because of that? Yeah.
It's you cannot shape and harden iron without fire. End of story. Right. You know? Really, and if you want to get into some of the books left out, some of the Apocrypha and some of the Gnostic texts and some of the Nag Hammadi, you're looking at where Jesus says that Jesus and disciples say that eternity is now, and if you don't get it now, you're not going to get it. And they also teach that hell is earth; it is the physical separation and absence of Yahweh. Which sounds mm-hmm. an awful lot like Southeast Texas.
There are worse places than here.
Yeah, right. Have you been to Eagle Pass?
It kind of deviated.
Yeah,
it deviated, and I'm going to jump in on that one in a little bit. Let's take a minute, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some water.
Go get your water. All right, guys. He got his water, but he's still doing the cigar thing. That is some brown water. He's probably an inviter.
like I said, joke's on you. I'm deep beneath the streets of Beaumont.
Yeah, okay.
In my sewer tunnel home.
Yeah, okay. Looks like a trailer.
Yeah.
Anyways. So it kind of, so back to the story, basically it kind of shifted. And then I began to speak on the term of hell. And that's when I revealed that your version of hell and my version of hell are two completely different things. I don't believe what you believe.
Yeah, we believe in Hellheim. Where
we believe in Hellheim.
If you die unremarkably, you're gonna go to Hellheim, and you're gonna have a nice, relatively pleasant, assuming you're not a piece of shit, life in Hellheim. Probably growing crops and like fucking bad bitches and drinking.
Probably. And then more Bible verses. And I said, that's all well and good. That's all well and good. However, that does not help me
at all.
Well, you know, having faith in God, once we go to heaven, you won't have to worry about your chair. You won't have to worry about. And I said, why would I want to wait until I die to have the things that I so desperately want?
Yeah.
What is having it in death going to do for me?
You know, it's, I find the idea, the entire idea of Christianity's current model laughable, because the idea, unless you count like Joel Osteen or anything like that, please do with that, that thought what you will. The idea of temporal reward is some kind of dirty concept. You know what I mean? The idea that I would be rewarded for my behavior in this life, and that my accomplishments are my own, and that my karma is my own, is such a fucking wild concept. Whenever you think about a God that created you in his image with self-determination and punishes you for stepping outside of the software parameters.
Thank you.
If that's what you want, you should have made an angel. That's what they do. It's not what we as people do. We are created in his image, meaning that the imprint of God is creativity. Okay. I stand on that. Mm-hmm. For you and I, the imprint of the gods, the hand, the touch of the hand of the divine is creativity. When I'm up on stage and I'm telling stories and stringing language together, you know, that's the power of runes and poetry and storytelling. And who gives us storytelling and runes and words? Odin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I'm writing and when I'm building, okay, when I'm in the shop working on guns, all right, that works in the honor of Thor and Thor and Tyr. You know, when a cop comes in and I give him a discount or I engrave handcuffs for free or cheap, service of Tyr, you know, and I'm okay with that because I'm doing these acts on my own, of my own recognizance, of my own decision making. And that's a fact that many.
Mm-hmm.
Christians. That's a thought that many, many people, not just Christians, are unwilling to grasp. Like, yeah, okay, there may be some divine spark to my talent, but my achievements are my own. I don't know why the idea of cigar ash on my microphone pop filter bothers me.
Okay.
But it does.
And so I continued with my explanations of that. Why would I not want to work at, you know, my own self, my own ability to be able to live as freely as I can now?
Yeah.
That way, when I do die and I do get freedom from these restrictions, I can fully enjoy it because I've worked for mm-hmm. it. And then I also added the fact that we are created in his image, correct?
According to that.
So then that means I'm supposed to be this way, correct? Yes. Okay. So stay with me on that. Why is it that you are the ones who see me as imperfect.
Or less than.
That there is something wrong with my design.
Well, there is something wrong with your design. It's not a bug. It's a feature. God knew the gods knew they had to nerf your punk ass or else you'd be too powerful.
Exactly.
Like you would lift all the things and run all the places and fight all the dudes if you could. And that's why I'm glad you were designed as you are, because what it's created is a mastermind that allows me to do, to have this platform and allows me to have such a friend that is willing to create with me. And that's an amazing thing.
Right.
You know, you would never be friends with, I'm too big of a loser. You'd never be my friend if you had legs.
Okay. I'll run back to that in a second. And that explanation, that is actually a good point that has actually been said by multiple people before, but I'm going to run back to that in a second. And then, you know, I pointed out these things and you're the ones that try to pray it away. But then you say that we're created in his image. So something there is completely wrong, because that shouldn't be if I'm created perfectly in his image, right? Mm-hmm. Well, God said, and I said, but, hold on. For me, growing up as a Christian, I was always taught that I could only help certain people. Those yep. who deserved it.
Who's the judge
that says they deserve help and they do not?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't.
I get it, man. Like, you know, you, who are you to say what I do and don't deserve? Who are you to tell me that my creative energies, our combined creative energies when we do this together, aren't worthy of credit? You know, we set out on a mission to create a voice for Texas and for Beaumont. We didn't even really create it, set out to do that, but that's what we've done. And that's what I want to continue to do, is to give a voice to those who normally wouldn't have one. You know, look at your cerebral palsy episode that you did. And I think that's one of our most listened to episodes so far.
And then the Sports Ball Matters one is also one of our popular ones too.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And that's getting into topics that are culturally relevant, especially in our area, you know, in the area of our lives. You know, we have some really amazing guests lined up. Do you mind if I go ahead and spoil some?
Go ahead.
All right. So next week we are going to be live with I'm going to call him a secondhand friend, an associate, an acquaintance. I know him through my ex father-in-law, the former host of F in Texas and cult survivor of the Independent Fundamentalist Baptist Church, Texas, which if you check out, Let Us Pray, ministry of what is it called? There's a whole documentary out that I'm going to put out on the show notes. So if the people at home want to watch before the show, they can. And then in the near future after that, we're looking at having Laredo Funny on, which is a small collective of comedians from Laredo, Texas, which is my parentage as a comedian. That's going to be George Alvarez, Steven Sosa, and Sarah Garza. Sarah Garza being the absolute love of my life, you know. My partner, my muse, so much of what I've become lately is a direct result of her actions. The joke she makes is I'm the monster of her making, and I'm excited to have them on. And then we're going to have Seth Bailey on, author of And the Rains Came Down, The Lines We Crossed. This is his most recent book. And yes, that is the Dallas skyline in the background. It's all Texas-based stories. And now he's moving and growing that story into another direction that I'm going to let him talk about. That's really exciting, with the same characters. A lot of the ancillary and secondary characters are based off people he knows. So look for your boy in a book. I know where I fall on that. It's going to be hilarious. His books are great fun. and I'm so excited to have him on. The problem is that he is an absolute hippie barbarian. So catching him whenever he's not either in a manic writing phase, high on mushrooms, or just living life in a way that, you know, isn't conducive to him being on the podcast is been a constant struggle with him. Because if you remember, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, he was supposed to be one of our first guests.
Yes, he was.
Seth Anderson Bailey. I'm tagging him in the show notes.
And for my sake, and for me, a lot of the things that I have coming up is we're going to talk to a lot of my different heathen friends that I've made throughout, well, because COVID. And the reason for that is because my roommate, Devontae, whom you all met last week, he is a Christian, the good kind.
I was going to say, absolutely, Christian fans out there, go look at Devontae and do what Devontae does. That's what a Christian should be. That is the most, honestly, and here's something that I'm going to say about Devontae that I've heard said about Jesus. Devontae is not a Buddhist. He's not a Norse pagan. He's a Christian. Okay. Norse pagans and Buddhists make terrible Christians, but he would be a hell of a Norse pagan or Christian or Buddhist.
Definitely.
Just like Jesus. Jesus would have been a hell of a Buddhist. I almost feel like the concept of Dharma is missing out just because Jesus isn't involved.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because of my roommate, Devontae, he often has questions about Norse paganism. What do I do? Why do I do? You know, what is a heathen? What are these things that I talk about and do? And when I'm in here hee-hawing and all that kind of shit with my heathen friends, and when I go off on vacations for 2-3 weeks at a time, where do I go? What do I do? And why? And why didn't that happen before? Yeah. So I kind of want to give him a different perspective, because me, I'm not hugely knowledgeable on all things Norse pagan. I'm just,
it's the only religion that comes with homework.
It's the one that speaks to me. One, speaks to me. Two, fits my lifestyle. Three, doesn't give me a fucking headache. And I can continue to just, and he's also right. It's the religion with homework, but that homework is fun, and reading it is so fun, and it's relatable. It's they're valuable. The gods are valuable, and I'm like, okay, so that can relate back to me because I'm not perfect, and they're not perfect. So, fuck, why not? It's worth it. It's worth it. I'll sit and read the shit all day long.
Oh yeah.
But I just wanted to give him
interesting.
Yeah. But I just wanted to give him a different perspective. That way he can lean on that whenever he watches the show or listens to it. Because mm-hmm. He did watch the last episode, and I think every episode before that, because when did that happen? It was the day after the episode loaded. So it was shit. When did the episode load?
Thursday.
So it was Friday, or it might have been before the episode loaded. I just know it was sometime this past week. He asked about it, and I told him that, you know, it'd be uploading within the next couple days. And he asked where he could find it. And I told him, I basically sent him the link for the RSS feed, the YouTube page itself, and the Spotify link as well. And so he actually went on to YouTube on his TV, and I heard him listening to the podcast because I heard my own voice.
Yeah.
And he was just astounded by the fact, oh my God, these people have a whole platform for this. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't kidding. I made the YouTube channel. It's there. And I have it set to when I upload an episode to the RSS feed. It goes out to all the different distributions for podcast listening, and then I also set it to release on YouTube at the same time, and I have it set to release on Facebook at the same time.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page. So he was astounded that, you know, all that was set up. And so I know that he listens. I know that he watches. So that way he can have that extra perspective and he can think about that a lot more, because one thing that he doesn't shy away from is asking questions and thinking
outside the box. The intellectual curiosity on that man.
Yes, he has a lot of curiosity and he does think outside the box and ask questions. And especially when he's feeling doubt on his own part, he does ask those questions. And I appreciate him, you know, approaching in a respectful manner and asking those questions and, you know, willing to have that conversation.
The world writ large can learn so much from Devante.
Yes, because we have so little of that in today's world. And pertinent to, you know, my story that I experienced on Friday, I really wish I would have had, you know, Devante with me as this person was talking to me. Because after they continued with, you know, leaning on my own strength and hellfire and all that kind of stuff, I started to actually leave slowly. Yeah.
As only you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be respectful about, you know, the whole leaving part.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. But then they said that they would pray for me, and I said don't. And they said, I will pray for you so that God will open your eyes and rescue you. And I said, rescue me from what? What do I need to be rescued from?
Mm-hmm. I enjoy my life.
They said something about hardships. And I said, listen, this is all I've known. This hardship is all I've known. If my eyes need to be opened to a person who would, one, let a child suffer through cancer, two, let a child go through war, three, no, I'm just saying in general.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I'm sorry. I thought that was a very personal anecdote that we could have gotten into.
Mm-mm. That's one hardship that I would not wish on any child ever.
Yeah, no, never. One. So speaking of childhood cancer, can I interject for a second?
Yeah.
So, you know, my boss and my good friend, Paul Davis, owner of Leadslinger Beaumont, where I'm employed. And actually I want to have him on an episode of the podcast, but I want to record it live from the store. Just because it would be good for him, good for us. And Paul's a big personality that I think the world would benefit from hearing from. We just found out that his daughter has another benign skin cancer tumor in her leg and is having it removed. So if you want to take a quiet moment with whatever God, devil, or elder evil being you ascribe to, please take some time and ask for your creator's intercession on her behalf. Her name is Ainsley.
Indeed. Please do that. But, and then that's, yeah, that's that. So a child going through cancer, war is being fought, and in a sense being caught in the middle and destroyed. And then I thought about myself and I said, what God would allow a 3-year-old boy to sit around and wonder what is his purpose in life? He's useless.
Right.
He has no purpose. He's in the way. What God would allow a kid to go through that? Have those and kinds of thoughts in his head. That is not something that I would want to follow. We are not meant to understand God's will or God's purpose. Then I don't want to. I don't care to. And it's not something that I will follow.
I like polytheistic religions because it introduces the idea of divine fallibility. And I feel like that's something that's missing from most religions, is divine fallibility, you know. what I'm going to say about that is I believe that we are created in the image of whatever God we ascribe to. That is, by the way, I am sorry. That is the Beaumont. That is the Comedy 409 chat going lit, and they are doing, they're off on some other bullshit. So I apologize for that. But I was saying, what was I saying? I believe in divine fallibility. If Christianity is to be believed in, then you either have to accept that Yahweh is fallible, and you either have to accept that Yahweh is either omnipotent and omnipresent and omnipresent, or you have to accept that he is fallible, okay, and that his love is genuine, that he opened the experiment, pushed play, and then stepped away and only intervened whenever he saw it necessary. Or you ascribe, like I do, to the idea of divine fallibility, that Yahweh is just one of many gods, of many divine beings that may not actually be gods as we ascribe it to be, because magic is simply the advancement of science without understanding. Okay. And to believe that, I believe that we were created by the God, by the old gods, and each unto his place, and then each drawn to the God that will serve them. I believe in transactional religion. Okay. You ever notice that Christians tend to have good lives? It's because they're generously rewarded for not putting other gods before Yahweh. I mean, I feel like I've heard that somewhere. Put no other gods before me, something. You know, I am a jealous God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And these are words of an insecure, immature person. Okay. Those are the words of someone who has faults, of someone who is fallible. You know, he wouldn't give a shit about other gods if he was the only God, right? Mm-hmm. So that informs my belief that no being, divine or mortal, is infallible or omnipresent or omnipresent. Okay. Because I believe honestly and sincerely that God loves those who loves him. I believe that. I also believe that our gods do not love us. And in fact, we exist for their amusement. And I'm okay with that because, well, I'm not a god yet. You hear that, Loki? I'm coming for you.
Oh, good Lord.
Fenris, once I discover the secret to immortality, your fucking jig is up. Ragnarok, this dick. God, I'm gonna pay for that one.
Oh God.
No, it started raining earlier. And I didn't see any lightning. And all I could think to myself is, and the military did this to me. All I could think to myself while I'm driving down 124 coming back from looking at an apartment today, all I could think was, rain god's a pussy. That's right, Thor. I said it. You big fat bitch.
You're going to pay for that one.
Hey, I made an offering of food, tobacco, and booze, and hemp in the last 12 hours. I'm okay for now. They're like, all right, we'll let them talk his shit.
But no, and please, everybody, don't look at this as me absolutely hating Christians. I don't.
No, it's Christians are kind, loving people, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like it when you get a no and you continue.
And can
you continue and you continue and you continue. Then that's when I start.
Can I make a comment for the Republicans? I'm going to, because you can suck my fucking balls. I can escape you at a brisk walk.
Make your damn comment.
Look, Republicans. Okay. This is a perfect example of why things like consent matter. Okay. This is a perfect example of religious freedom. Okay. This person had the religious freedom to go up to Coach and say, hey, how's your relationship with Jesus? Coach over here had has the religious freedom and the right under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution to say, I'm good. Right? Because any other country, well, no, that's a lie. A lot of countries in the world, they could have turned around and went to the religious police and said, that man doesn't believe in our God and he doesn't follow our traditions. And that's one thing that about our country that I'm exceptionally grateful for. And that is one thing that makes me happy that we as Americans still have. So Republicans, you have the right to say what you want to say. Well, so do we. Okay. And I say this knowing that Coach is a Republican.
You have no proof.
Bitch, don't lie to me.
You have no proof.
I don't need. I believe I do, because I once talked about having a person on the show to discuss trans, how trans rights are inherently are incumbent upon the liberty movement. And you were like, not so much.
Huh?
Oh, remember I talked about having someone on, because remember I was talking about doing that gun episode, right?
Yeah.
And remember I talked about having a leftist gun owner and gun rights supporter on, and you were like, oh no. Once I was like, well, they're non-binary, trans, which
you
I know.
You never told me that.
I did.
No, you did not.
I guess that goes to show that not all Republicans are bad and not all Democrats are good and vice versa.
Exactly. Oh, God. Yeah, please. Don't make generalizations like that.
Never. I never will.
No, I never will. Not you. Not you. I'm just saying in general. Because I knew a person who they would outright say that all Republicans are bad. They could have known this person for years and broke bread with this person, slept in this person's house. And then they find out that this person is a Republican, and then, oh, they're a bad person. They're a bad person. They're terrible. They're evil. And then, oh, what happened when they made that generalization in front of me? I turned around and said, what did I tell them? Oh, I said basically that Democrats only care when you follow and agree with every single one of their principles and don't deviate from the established line of thinking.
Yeah, and I've gotten the same thing from Republicans. Yep, I've gotten the same thing from Republicans.
Right.
Yes. So when Republicans find out that I'm a gun, I'm going to speak on this because this is something we opened this can and now I'm getting in it. That's something I've had from both sides of the aisle because I believe that they are both inherently led by evil, hateful, pedophilic, Luciferian and Lokean demons. I have broken my boss's heart whenever I told him that the idea that a woman's right to choose is inherent in liberty. And I broke my girlfriend's heart whenever I told her that I would love to have a machine gun shoot at our wedding reception. Because I promise you, everybody that RSVPs for my wedding, there will be a cigar bar.
Why is that bad?
People get pissy about it.
Why? It's just a cigar.
Mm-hmm. But this is the same wedding where my and Sarah's wedding reception is going to start with the roast of Mr. and Mrs. Hope, which, by the way, Coach, you are candidate number one to be the roast master general, so you better start getting good at comedy. Get good, scrub.
Whatever.
All right. But also at the same time, there's going to be people of every political and cultural stripe the world over.
Right. As there should be.
Yeah.
Both sides are just kind of stupid. They're stupid. Both sides are stupid.
How mad do you think the people at home would get if I mentioned AIPAC donates to both sides of the political aisle? Probably. How mad do you think the people at home? How mad do you think the people at home would get if I told them that the largest contributor to American political media is the Nation of Israel, and that's on both sides?
Probably.
Because when it's nice and liberal, and they're like, "Oh, well, we have abortion rights and gay rights and trans rights, and we also have at the same time government mandated armed citizens and religious freedom for only the Jewish people. Meanwhile, Christian, Muslim, and other offshoot religious sects within the Nation of Israel are disrespected and minimized." And I don't say that to be anti-Semitic. I think the Jewish faith is beautiful. One of my favorite things to do when I'm super duper high on mushrooms is listen to rhythmic Torah reading. Don't know why. I also have a thing for Templar chants, like something about Crusaders. I fuck with. But I am neither of those. And what I'm finding more and more and more is that the problem isn't people. The problem is government.
Mm-hmm.
People like ask me, how can you work for the federal government but also hate the federal government? And it's like, well, I hate what they represent. I hate what they do. But they pay my pension. Like, I'm in it for the bag, dog. I don't believe in shit. I'm here for the violence.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But definitely that whole interaction on Friday was just so freeing.
Oh, I imagine.
It was so needed. I didn't realize how much I actually needed that, and to actually be able to say it out loud and just be done.
Let me ask you a question. Was this your first open proselytization since you openly embraced Norse paganism since COVID?
Yeah, because nobody else, when I came out of the closet again, not for bisexuality, but Norse paganism, nobody questioned it. Nobody cared. Like, nobody made it a big deal.
90% of America was like, cool.
Yeah. Like, most of America is just like, awesome, bro. Or they'll just be like, what's that? Or,
yeah. Or which is like, going to be our next episode.
Oh, I am too. And then they'll start talking to you. Nobody gave me a hard time about this.
No, and I don't suspect they would, because most Americans, be them conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't fucking matter. religious, atheistic, agnostic. No one fucking cares in reality. What they care about is, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this with 10 toes pointed at you with full honesty, is I believe that most Americans only care if you're a good person. There are three things that every American can agree on. One, guns are a necessary evil. Two, pedophiles should be fed to wood chippers.
Yep.
And three, everyone should be free to live their life as they see fit, as long as it is, does not interfere with the life of another.
Yep.
And that's something that we as Americans need to get back to. And that's something that I've decided I'm going to use this podcast to advocate for. Even the witches are on board with this. Like, do what you will, so long as it does not harm another, for it will come back on you threefold. Bitch! Are you that mad that you just can't let shit be? Okay? Are you that mad that the idea of me living my life in a way that creates joy, right? Where I get to have this Sunday afternoon conversation with one of my best friends and dearest brothers, mad love to you, bothers you because we're not Christian enough? Because we refuse to bow and scrape before a God that obviously hates us and just won't say it.
Oh God, yeah. That whole bended knee thing. I forgot about that.
I feel like Yahweh is that fucking slightly crazy, very jealous white woman that all the world loves because the sex is good. Okay? But ain't nothing else worth a fuck, right? Like, church is fun. Don't get me wrong. I love church. I love going to mass. I love a Catholic mass. You give me that, Hero Patre. I'm here for that shit. Okay? You want to get me feeling Christian? Play some fucking Templar chants, right? But the number of people that have come up to me in Southeast Texas have been like, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And me been like, I'm good.
Mm-mm.
You know what me and my roommate used to do? My roommate, Ray Brazil, who I want to have on this fucking podcast one sometime. When we lived in the barracks, no, not Ray Brazil. It was, he was one of my best friends at the time. Me and my homeboy, we had, I'm not going to name him because he's a very private person and has chosen to go underground, and I'm not honor that. We had a church, a very culty church called the House of Prayer. That's right. I'm calling you out, House of Prayer cult. They would come to our barracks rooms and be like, hey, come to church with us. And they were very persistent. And then once you go to church, they would try to get you to move into their house. Right? And then you got 8 or 9 servicemen, E4 and below, living in this house because it's not in the barracks. And you go to church 5 nights a week. Right? And the other 2 nights, you go to a very intensive 4 or 5 hour prayer meeting. Right? Mm-mm. Well, we got tired of them dudes showing up. So we got a Baphomet. We got a sigil of Baphomet. And there was a pointing at our front door, there was like a low wall, a lower portion of the ceiling, and right next to the air conditioning vent, because the air conditioning vent was offset to one side, and then there was that whole little bit of wall. We centered it on that little bit of wall, and they were like, hey, so y'all want to come to church with us and worship Jesus? Wham! Threw that door open. I said, when you come to church with us. They stopped waking me up hungover at 7 a.m. on a Sunday.
7 a.m. on a Sunday? No. Thank you.
Even at 40 years old. So last night, I went to my daughter's dance recital at Julie Rogers Theater. Check out be on the lookout early 2030 for the launch of the Family Business Tour, headlined by Sarah Garza, featuring Thomas Hope and opened by Thomas Hope Jr. All right, that's where we're filming that special. That's where we're filming my special, is it Julie Rogers. But fuck, I forgot where I was going. Never mind. Go ahead, coach. Sorry, I've been on a tear.
Isn't Thomas Hope Jr. A dude?
Yeah.
Why'd you say your daughter?
Oh, because my son is violently gay.
Thought you said he wasn't a twink.
I said he's not allowed to be a twink, but he's going to defy me at every opportunity. So
knew that was coming.
Well, I told him, I was like, son, I get it. Okay. You're a young, skinny, short, gay man. You're going to be a twink, but I need you to understand that, in this household,
get that man into a gym.
Exactly. Well, he experienced being strong for the first time the other day. So that all that shit that like that desk that I brought in and those stools that I brought into the studio, be on the lookout, folks. Be on the lookout, America. We're about to have a new podcast studio.
He's been saying that for weeks.
Where's my fucking patch board?
Where's my fucking money?
You don't get paid until the work gets done.
Look, boy, I need you to provide me with some money so I can go buy your goddamn sheet of plywood.
Excuse me, did you say the word boy?
Mm-hmm.
Racist.
No, I'm not being racist. You pulled out the overseer accent on me, bitch. I know what that is. Don't play with me.
Whatever.
Try Jesus, not me.
Whatever.
I believe you said the exact words of, where's my patch board?
Yes, I did.
You I've almost called me
that shit N-word. For weeks.
You almost called, well, I mean, when I have the money, I'll get the materials and I'll fucking make it, but it's going to be not cheap.
Ugh. You made it sound easy. Stop drinking.
I'm done drinking. I'm out of ice, which means I'm out of whiskey.
It's a terrible habit.
Drinking. Oh, you mean bad. Like our gods who drank mead openly in about five of the 12 recognized sagas?
That's different. It's not the same thing.
Oh, you mean like the Havamal, where Odin says that a responsible drink between friends will never cause harm?
Right. That drinking's not bad.
Oh, you mean my two alcoholic beverages that I had? I drank whiskey until I ran out of ice.
He says two, but it was more like 20.
America, don't believe him. Don't listen to Coach. Look, Texas.
He said America. What does that sound like?
I'm going to let the people at home guess what city my secret bunker is in.
All right, we're gonna take a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coach and I have been discussing it, and the Havamal is a guiding resource of our life. It's super easy whenever you really need to think through a problem and you need a solid perspective to stand on to Google Havamal colon subject, i.e. interject the subject you want, colon or semicolon, stanza. And what I've done is I've searched up a reading from the Havamal that relates to standing your intellectual ground. I'm going to circle back to what I said earlier about ideas are much less dangerous than beliefs. And so I'm going to leave you all with a thought that needs to be thunk and a pondering that needs to be pondered. And I'm going to read from Havamal stanzas 5 and 6. A man needs wisdom if he plans to wander widely. Life is easier at home. He'll be laughed at if he sits among the wise and has nothing to say. Havamal 6. A wise man is not showy about his wisdom. He guards it carefully. He is silent when he comes to a stranger's home. He seldom befalls the watchful man, for you can never have a more faithful friend than a good supply of wisdom. It's my sincere belief that what that stanza, those two stanzas are saying, is that taking time to think before you spend time visiting with friends is never a trouble. And then whenever you're surrounded by people who you may not know, or you're broadcasting to the world like we are, you need to have your thoughts prepared, and you need to be able to communicate those thoughts. And I feel like that's especially relevant to today's topic, because today's episode was all about Coach standing his ground and presenting his ideas in a respectful and communicative way to someone who came to him out of a genuine belief and a genuine faith. Coach, how do you think these two stanzas apply to the content that we've presented today?
So definitely that second stanza of guarding your own wisdom, not speaking immediately, and just listening before you speak. That was a majority of the first part of that interaction for me, because I definitely wanted to hear what they had to say. And then if there was anything that I wanted to do, was to be able to make them, one, feel welcome to speak their own mind in front of me, and then also be able to not just listen to hear them, but also be able to listen to respond, and not in a dickish kind of way, as a lot of the brosatrus would do.
Till the hall of border.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. But also to make sure that we could have a positive interaction. That way we could walk away both having learned something. I hope the other person learned something. And then also, it also sounds like it says, don't put your foot in your mouth. Don't put your foot in your mouth, which is always good, especially when you're around new people that you don't know, that you've never interacted with before, because you never want to make a fool of yourself, because that leaves a lasting impression. And you don't want your first impression to be one of foolishness, or one that you could be laughed at for all eternity. You want people to take you as kind, respectful, knowledgeable, determined, straightforward, strong. There are lots of different words that.
Well, that's how you want to be perceived.
There's lots of different words for a person. For how a person may want to be perceived when you first are introduced to them. Everyone has what they want others to perceive them as, their own picture of themselves in their mind and how they would describe themselves. And they try to convey that to other people. Right. The words that I used are the ones that are in my mind when I see myself. I am quiet, reserved, and a lot of times I don't talk when I'm in situations, because I tend to listen before I speak. And especially when it's someone that I don't know, of course I can make a friend anywhere I go, but I'm always trying to watch the situation around me just to make sure that, one, there's no danger, and two, that I'm not in a situation that's going to cause me to lose my own mental as well as my own physical peace. Because another stanza where it talks about give them no peace, it can give them no peace,
those who oppose you.
It can be more than physical. A lot of people take that one as physical. Give them no peace. However, giving them no peace can also be a mental thing as well.
While violence is the ultimate arbiter of truth. Don't believe me? Look at World War II. Look at World War I.
And
look at the American Civil War. Look at countless conflicts throughout history. Violence is the ultimate arbiter of truth. Mm-hmm. Being capable of violence, both mental and physical, is a valuable asset for any person. And I think what Coach showed today, that was Friday?
Mm-hmm.
What Coach showed Friday is restraint. He exhibited the ability to really stand and say and deliver words that might be shocking to this person, but he chose not to. He chose peace in conversation. And that's what this stanza, I believe, is saying, is he guarded his wisdom well.
Yeah, not every situation requires you to pull out the axe and start swinging.
Unless it's a pedophile involved.
Exceptions.
And what I take from that, from those two stanzas of the Havamal, is that you need to be prepared to speak in all situations. You're going to be asked, you're going to be approached. But approaching it from a position of humility and solitude is a good place to start.
Indeed. All right, what else we got? Any other closing thoughts, remarks?
Oh, let's see. Dad jokes. This coming Thursday. Oh, dad jokes. Knock, knock.
Oh. Who's there?
Banana?
No. No. No.
I'm not doing that to you. No, no. Coming up these Thursday night, there is a local comedian, MC, and DJ named Eddie Kitsu. Thursday night at the Texas Rose, Coach, I'm going to pick you up for this one, is going to be the 51st birthday roast of Eddie Kitsu. And then Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, we are going to have the Comedy 409 Clean Comedy Showcase. The idea is those of us that are willing and capable of performing clean comedy are going to show up at Struggle Street at about 7 o'clock and sign up. And then around 8, we are going to perform for our community members, and we're going to share our ability to make you laugh. I don't have anything else to announce, but coming up, be on the lookout in early June. Right now, the tentative dates, please be prepared for these to change. My birthday is on June 4th. You can catch me on my birthday doing comedy at 409 on Tuesday, June the 4th. On Wednesday, June the 5th is going to be the birthday roast of yours truly. Okay. Hosted by Chad Perrone. Then that Thursday, we are going to have. Yep. And then that Thursday, we are going to have Thursday Night Stories, which is my open mic that I run every Thursday at the Texas Rose Saloon. That Friday, June the 7th, tentatively be on the lookout. I'm going to be running a show at Howie's Hideout in Sour Lake. And it's going to be an out of towner. And it's going to be, if I get who I want on the date I want, you're in for a hell of a show. I can't give out too many details, but I'm lighting the fuse now. Early June, be on the lookout. Comedy 409 is about to deliver some shit.
Well, all right then. And as always, I'm Coach.
And I'm Tom.
And we've been doing that bullshit. We'll see you next time.
Good night, Texas. Good night, America. This has been Unhinged with Coach.